July 6, 1985, 1:18 a.m. And this is Temporal Experiment Number One.
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
But your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they stopped to think if they should.
Action. Tune in Tuesday and Wednesday at 6:30 when the Brewers battle the Baltimore Orioles at Memorial Stadium. Then it's on to Fenway Park for three games against the Red Sox, Thursday and Friday nights at 6:30 and Sunday afternoon at 1. Catch Brewer Baseball on TV 18, all live, all free.
Well, I'm pleased to have the opportunity here to say things. First of all, let me apologize for being late. I got hung up in an anti-nuclear demonstration. No, I know or have some idea of what all goes into the planning and the preparations for particularly things like the trips that we've been on. And sometimes I wonder how it all gets worked out so perfectly, but then I know that there are people like you who are seeing that it does, and you never cease to amaze me.
Why don't you use it? Time not to bruise it. Why don't you lose it?
Here comes Meadowlark Lemon. He's never tried Charmin. Watch me get him.
I got it.
What is it? That's Charmin. Haven't you ever tried it?
No.
Is it soft?
Squeeze it.
It is soft.
And
cushiony.
And
squeezable.
Gotcha. See? Just squeeze the Charmin.
Go!
And I got you.
Charmin. The squeezing gets you. The softness keeps you.
Morning, kids. It's a Pac-Man day with my crispy corn cereal coming your way.
With marshmallows.
Delicious. I'm Binky.
I'm Blinky.
I'm Pinky.
I'm Clyde. We're the marshmallows.
You'll find inside.
He's marshmallow. You can chomp him too. Part of this nutritious breakfast.
It's Pac-Man
with marshmallows. Delicious.
This is it. This is the end of the line.
Tell me.
Did I tell you about the pool here?
For Daniel LaRusso.
Is this the only pool you guys got?
The future seemed far from terrific.
This place is a dump. You should go back to New Jersey.
Hey, I know it's hard, but we're not quitters, are we?
Until he met the right girl.
She's beautiful. I say she's beautiful. I think she's beautiful.
Is that your address?
You got it.
But that only angered the wrong guy.
You know, I'm superb at 9:30.
Definitely.
You gotta be nuts.
And his troubles really began.
You have to push it. Now you're gonna pay.
Then, in one man, he found a teacher.
I promise, teach karate.
And a friend.
Fighting, always last answer.
How did you do that?
Don't know. First time. Power, whole body. Yeah. Make a perfect picture.
But how do I know if my picture's the right one?
If come from inside you, always right one. Lesson about the balance, not just karate, a lesson for all life.
Why train?
So I won't have to fight.
Hey, karate kid, let me move.
Yeah!
Your points
you no points. You're dead meat.
I don't have much of a cheering section.
You got me.
In the end, it will be in Daniel's hands. In his body. And most of all, in his mind.
Concentrate, focus, power. Remember, balance.
No mercy. Columbia Pictures presents The Karate Kid.
Hey, what kind of belt do you have?
Canvas. You like? J.C. Penney, 398.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Be Nostalgic. I'm here with Sensei Andrew McGuire.
Oh, that's too much credit.
My co-host. Oh, Daniel-san.
There we go.
Andrew McGuire. And our special guest, Frozen Lazarus.
Yeah. That's me.
Hello.
I'm trying to
That's you.
Trying to think of a bonsai.
Bonsai. And me.
The movie.
Lopez. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter because if you listen to the beginning, the trailer did that for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It basically says the whole movie.
Yes, it was.
Back in the 80s, they felt like, what if the people don't watch the movie? Let's just tell them the whole movie in the trailer.
In a world where a kid learns karate.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the director of this movie, obviously, we're talking about Karate Kid.
Yep.
Karate Kid. How do you pronounce karate?
Karate.
Karate. Karate Kid.
That's how I do it.
Yeah. So the director, John G. Avildsen. I'm sorry I butchered his name.
Yeah.
He has a thing about doing underdog movies.
Yes, he was the Rocky director.
Yes.
Oh, and I did not know that. Didn't know that.
And he also has a thing about doing montages. So this is where it all started.
Yeah.
The training sequences, those montage scenes where all of a sudden, after like a few minutes, the kid or man is already
like the
all
best.
Buff and done training. All condensed into 3 minutes, accompanied by a song.
Mm-hmm.
We
and
need
this
more
one,
of that.
It was Be the Best.
Yes.
Yeah, we should.
We need more of that. They need to get the montage back.
Oh my god, we need that montage back because
yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's fun for them too.
Yeah. You get to like do like little snippets of scenes and then make like a full thing out of it.
Well, I think yes.
I was just gonna say it's like three weeks of work, but it's just you know, just 2 days to do these little scenes rather than do 3 days of stretching the whole thing out. I don't know. I don't
that
like
is
movies,
true.
So maybe it's not. I don't.
You know, it's funny because B and I have both been extras on a movie, and it was just amazing to be there for 14 hours. And then when you watch it on screen, the scene you worked on for 14 hours is like 20 to 30 seconds long.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. And it's you're not really in it,
yeah.
But you're in the background. You're a blur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of being that blur in the background.
No, that's awesome.
We're going to actually do a little promo for your podcast right now.
Yeah,
right.
It's but yeah, we'll insert us talking about your thing because he doesn't have one.
Oh, okay.
I'll come up with
but that's fine. Well, you have Putting on the Wrist and a new one which I was unaware of until you sent it to me, Campfire Songs.
Yeah, that's where there's three other guys, basically, you know how when you were younger, you get together with people and drink beer and listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that now, but we're doing it at a distance. Just people that I met on Twitter, some really good guys, and you know, I've become pretty good friends with them as we go along. So it's kind of interesting to form a friendship. You get to go back and listen to it, and also to listen to this music with these people who really love it. So. It's been
excellent,
a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna listen to the newest one. Well, the first one is out. Came out on the 2nd. I'm gonna listen to that tomorrow on my way to work.
Awesome. Cool. I'll give it a listen as well.
Mm-hmm. We just did one on Friday, so gotta edit that down and put it out there. But that's on me.
Nice. Yeah. And also, putting on the wrist, PUDDING on the wrist, as in like your wrist on your arm. Is also a music podcast, and it's almost like having a live DJ radio, but with like smaller indie music that you wouldn't necessarily hear without listening to it. So I really like that one too.
Yeah, I like that.
I always like hearing new people.
Yeah, because sometimes you hear the same music over and over again on certain stations.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the same song plays like five times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. It's horrible.
Yeah. But, I mean, like this week we kind of lucked out. The top song of the week, the movie that this came out, was Duran Duran, The Reflex. So that's always a good, you know, one to get moving to.
Yeah.
You heard that clip of that. So Frozen Lazarus, or Frozen, I don't know. Frozen.
Call me Tom.
Wait, Tom. Tom, there we go. Tom.
That's easier.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Tom.
So Tom, when you were actually the first guest we actually booked, and you actually approached us and you're like, hey, if you ever do Karate Kid, I want to be on that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. So you obviously, what's your nostalgia, like, connection to this movie that you immediately jumped out at it?
I was super nostalgic for this. I was like, I think it was in the fourth grade when this came out. I was already doing karate and it came out that summer. Mm-hmm. And it was just so, it was huge. And I couldn't even find it. It took me so long to see it in the theater. For whatever reason, the theaters around us weren't showing it. At one point, my father took me during my birthday with like three other friends to go see it, and it was sold out. So we had to see Cloak and Dagger, which is another good movie, instead.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, as I was doing this, I read the book, the novelization. I finally got to see it, like this 10-year-old, and I loved it. I just thought it was so good. And over the years, I still watch it, and I still. Now it kind of gives me anxiety when I watch him. Like, why is he getting into all this trouble? I just love it. You know, like we talk about the 80s with the montage, the good versus the bad. The score. It was just it does something to me.
Now, did you relate to the lead character?
Well, he was cooler than me. So
it's so weird because when I watch it, I think, oh, he looks too young for Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
But he was 22
when
he was doing this.
Yeah.
And to me, he looked like he was 12.
Yeah, he's very baby-faced.
And he was scrawny compared to the Cobra Kai guys, too. So that kind of...
Yeah, very thin.
Yeah.
But I guess that's part of the movie itself. You don't need strength. Muscles to be a karate.
It's the speed and the agility. I think their teaching methods were very different. Mr. Miyagi was very calm and zen-like, whereas the Cobra Kai sensei, he was just like a jerk. He was very militant and just yelling at the kids for like hours at a time.
Well, he was also a war veteran. You see him with in one of his photos. He has like the military uniform on, holding the gun.
Are you saying Mr. Miyagi?
No, the Cobra Kai guy.
Mr. Kreese. Yeah.
But also, Mr. Miyagi was also in the war too.
Yeah. Well, he was in an internment. Was he in an internment camp or just his wife and daughter?
His wife
or
and
kid.
His wife.
Child.
And child were. I thought. Did he have a child? Did they die during childbirth? I don't remember.
They both died, but I don't know if it was during... It might have been...
I think they said during childbirth.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so they were in the internment camp, and he went and fought on the U.S. side.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
okay.
I don't... Did that happen? Did they have Japanese soldiers in World War II fighting for the U.S.? Was that a thing? Okay, so I'm not very good at history.
Yeah, and like, part of it was kind of... It was basically ransom. We'll free your family. This is you paying a debt to prove that you're loyal to us. So we let them out because there was that like fear that every Japanese person would be loyal to Japan instead of the U.S. So they kind of they would lock up the family and then like be like, OK, well, go prove it and go fight.
And the actor, Pat, used his experience in military for his role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
that sounds barbaric, too, though, when you think about it.
Like,
prove your worth by fighting for us, or prove that you're not a traitor.
Oh, that's America.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They don't really teach that time in history, American history.
They never told us about... They talked about the concentration camps, but they never talked about the camps here we had for the Japanese and for the Native Americans.
You would think about the amount of specials we have for World War II. At some point, we would go, oh, and here's what we were doing?
Yeah, because there was stuff going on here, too.
Yeah.
And obviously, Mr. Miyagi is still dealing with the grief of that and the loss of his wife and child, because there is a drunken scene. Now, what did you think about that drunken scene?
In what way? I
was it weird to you when you were a child? Did you think it was funny? Did you want to attempt to mimic that drunken scene?
No, I thought it was sad.
It's this kind of like weird like tone where it is sad and but they're also trying to play like a funny drunk scene.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think
especially with his accent.
Yeah, I think they're really trying to like get both their sides there. I do think though it comes through that, you know, this is sad, and especially with once he is laying down, he does read the letter, which is also that's his letter, that's his thing. Like mm-hmm. don't take it.
Yeah.
I know it is a little weird, but it also shows that he has taken on the kind of sensei role where he's putting him to bed
and taking
care of him.
Yeah.
Also, the scene was not almost not in the movie. They thought it was too much for like a family movie for there to be a drunk scene, and it was too kind of dark, depressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they really wanted it.
I say it's sad now because I'm looking at it as a grown man. Yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember being funny. I don't remember laughing. But I probably didn't find it sad at 10 years old too. But I do think it did set the scene for like, or give us a little more backstory about Mr. Miyagi, which up until that point, you didn't really have that in the movie either. So.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was really important to have that. Otherwise he's just a characterization of older Japanese man.
Yeah.
Which was already an issue, but I also, it set up for mm-hmm. Karate Kid too, because it introduced
mm-hmm. yes.
this. Although, did he say he was from Okinawa before? I can't remember. This
yes, yes, he did.
Okay, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he says that, he says specifically he's from Okinawa, not Japan. So I don't know. I always kind of thought that was part of Japan. Maybe I'm just being dumb and ignorant.
It was just an island off the coast. I suppose like Block Island is off the coast of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you still hear, I sometimes, because I know they continue to have certain issues with Okinawa. There's like a sexual assault cases at the base, I think. So you still hear about it in the news, and they still refer to it as Okinawa. So maybe it is one of those, like you said, like Block Island or something like the, you know, it's big enough so it could be on its own. I don't know
exactly.
About it, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So, we'll get into the facts.
Yeah.
Because I did some deep dives on this movie. So, I don't know if you guys are aware that, obviously, other people were in the running for Ralph Macchio's character, Daniel LaRusso.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be Robert Downey Jr.
No.
It would have been him. Or it would have been Charlie Sheen. Yeah. They were using these guys a lot in the 80s movies.
You know, it's funny because I'm trying to think of Charlie Sheen as like a young person. And the earliest movie that I can remember him in, and I think it's an early 90s movie, so he would have been younger in the 80s, but I can't think of him anything in the 80s, is Major League.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays like the pitcher who doesn't want to wear glasses because he doesn't want to look uncool. But then you... He's like got a really good fastball, but that's like a plot line in there. They finally convince him to wear glasses, and suddenly he's the best pitcher in the league. So I can't think of him. And I was saying this to you, and you had told me this earlier.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. I know he was in a lot of 80s things, but I can't think of him like as a young actor either. And I don't know if he was just the same, because he kind of plays himself. He kind of plays that snarky, sarcastic character now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he did that as a teenager too, because I can't picture that being Daniel.
I know.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
No, he just seems too much like, well, he also was in some John Hughes movies, I think.
Yeah, 16 Candles, was he in that one? he's in, I like I said, I know he's in one of the, I don't know all their names.
No, he was definitely part of the Brat Pack.
Yeah.
Ralph Macchio, though, I don't recall any other movies other than the Karate Kid franchise that he was in.
He was in The Outsiders.
Oh, my goodness. That's like another good one.
Yeah, that was a great
movie. I hear a lot about this movie.
Yeah.
All the time, but...
Did you ever read the book? Did you have to
read
the book? Oh, that was... We had to read the book in, like, seventh grade. And then kind of later, go write a passage here. But the movie was really good, too. And he kind of played himself in that movie. I don't know if his range is that huge. He doesn't have a wide range. But, he was good in that.
I mean, I remember him from his stint in the Ugly Betty series. Because he was also... As an older person, obviously.
Yeah, and he was in...
This was later in his career.
He was in My Cousin Vinny, I think. But that's the only... Those are, like, the only...
Yeah,
That's right, that's right. He was in that also. Mm-hmm. With... Joe Pesci.
Yeah. Now, what were you saying he didn't like about this movie? He didn't like the title?
He did not like the title. Ralph Macchio. There was a lot of things that Ralph Macchio did not like about this. First, it was the title, which I understand he didn't want to have the Karate Kid be the tagline for him for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. But it kind of sort of...
It was.
He's known as the Karate Kid. Yeah. And also, because... Coca-Cola wants everybody to know about their products, and they own the company that distributed the movie. They wanted product placement, and Ralph did not like that.
Mm. Now, see, that I almost want to do, like, a long deep dive on how a soda company comes to own a film distribution company.
Yeah, I don't know. And so much so that Clint Eastwood's son tried to go for the role. And he was turned down. So then Clint Eastwood banned all Coca-Cola products.
From the rest of his movies. Yeah. It's kind of funny just how...
Yeah, I know.
So...
That's just sad. Come on.
Yeah.
So Clint Eastwood movies come to audience be like, is Pepsi okay?
Yeah. But I guess there's a moment where Daniel's son is holding a Sprite container... But he did it so quickly, the briefest he could do, with appeasing them, but also appeasing his own self, because he did not want to do that.
Well, I'll ask this: Does product placement work on you guys?
Not for me.
Not that I'm aware of. No.
Yeah. So it's funny because I'm a patron for another podcast where I can suggest a movie. Each month, and I suggested a movie for next month, Noelle, on Netflix, because I thought it was a cute movie.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And it was funny because they ended up talking about it briefly on one of their more recent podcasts. And the thing they were talking about is how it's just a really long commercial. There's so much product placement in it, and I'm like,
"That's right."
And I'm like,
"A lot of product placement in that."
And I like legitimately, except one recurring joke about iPads, I didn't pick up on any of it. I'm like, oh, well, you're not spending your money on me, apparently.
Yeah, no, I don't notice it. Sometimes I do notice it. It gets so glaring, like, there it is. But it doesn't...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going out the store and buying any of that stuff. So.
Yeah. The Goonies is probably the worst one, where literally just every can, they're like, do you see that it's Pepsi? Do you see it?
Oh, yeah.
They put it right up to the camera. They don't care. No shame.
That was big in the 80s.
Every
chance they could get, like for soda, Pepsi too.
Yeah.
Pepsi did a lot with Back to the Future too. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pepsi Perfect.
But they also mentioned Tab, and that is not around.
No. But so I think I would have to say that I'm the youngest of everyone here.
Okay.
So I didn't grow up with this movie, but I always knew. The cultural osmosis. I think this is actually the first time I've watched the movie all the way through.
Oh.
I know the wax on, wax off thing.
Wax on, wax off.
And I even made that the clue to the next, for this movie, last episode, not even knowing if it was from this or the sequel. Because I know in the third one, or with the girl, he does the wax on, wax off, but it's on his car. So.
I like the little drum. Is that from the second one?
That's from the second one, yeah. When they have little
drums. Where everybody's, spinning the drums.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Oh, I Where love that. That ropes? Got me. I have no idea, but I used to have one.
Mm-hmm.
In my, I have a Colombian family, so we use those during Christmas time
mm-hmm.
for our like Christmas gatherings. Well, yeah. pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The novenas.
Yes. Cool. Yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed playing with those.
Yeah. I remember our to go a little track of that, one of the first novenas I went to with you.
Yep.
They were, everyone was singing the religious songs in Spanish, and they gave all the kids instruments because they didn't know the words.
Yep.
And then they walked to me and they gave me an instrument. And they're like, we know you don't speak Spanish, so here's a little thing.
But there was like lots of fried foods yeah. and chocolate and fried dough balls and stuff like that to eat. So if you didn't sing, you could just eat something. Oh, I'm sorry.
Can't talk. Sounds delicious.
Oh, it's really good.
And this is a Christmas movie. It takes place in December.
Well, yes, and there's gifts.
Mm-hmm.
The best gift giving of all. I almost got emotional when Daniel-san is receiving the gifts from Mr. Miyagi. First, the cool outfit, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
That his wife made.
Yes. Yep. And then the car.
Yeah.
Which on top of, like, what?
He's known this kid like a month and a half.
I guess gotta know, like, where did Mr. Miyagi make his money? Because really, he has these cars, and he has this piece of land, which I think when you're supposed to watch it as a kid, like, oh, that's a dump. But looking at it now, it's like this beautiful piece of land with, like, koi ponds and everything.
And oh, my gosh. I would love to live there.
Yeah. And he worked for the apartment where Daniel lived, like this crappy apartment.
Yeah.
Where did he get his money?
That's a really good thing to say. I suppose he doesn't really spend much money. I feel like he saved and saved.
Yeah, but I mean, can you save that much money?
You can.
I think, do we ever find out if there's a landlord?
I didn't.
Because they call him the maintenance guy. But
owns the building.
Yeah. But maybe it's his building and he rents it out and he just does all the maintenance himself.
It's possible.
That might be. I don't know.
That is possible. Maybe there was some reparations.
Yeah. Reparations.
He's probably the only one that got the reparations.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know, right? Or pension from being in the war?
Yeah.
Could be.
Military pension?
Maybe.
He doesn't buy new clothes or anything new.
Hmm.
No, I just think it's the land that he has and these beautiful cars, so. But I always wondered that.
It's movie magic. I suppose we can just chalk it up to movie magic.
I need some fan fiction about Mr. Miyagi's side hustle.
Yes, because the mom, right, gets... Daniel's mom gets a new job. She still has that crappy car.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy has, like, four cars.
Yeah.
Four cars. What? I just feel bad for Daniel showing up to his rich girlfriend's house and then having them see them have to push the car away mm-hmm. as they're leaping.
Yeah.
And then the mom's like, we got it under control. It's okay.
But that car symbolism, that was perfect for like when they showed them moving, pushing, like, all right, that, you know, we don't have to tell the story. Here's this poor kid going to California. So it's a good vehicle to show that they're poor. No,
I know. I mean, I guess it was a movie of a star-crossed romance where the kid from the other side of the tracks is really, and she's, I think, really in love with him. Every time they're in a scene together, she's just looking at him with these big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
She just loves him. Although, to be honest, him compared to Johnny, he's just a dirtbag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Johnny was he was a jerk.
I mean, the only, the scenes with Elizabeth Shue's character and Johnny, he's like, almost like threatening to steal her radio and kind of like shoving things around and just yelling at her and berating her. Like, why would she want to get back together with you? You just tried to steal her stuff, and you're being a total jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
All those guys are out too. The rest of the Cobra Kai. I mean, they were a rough bunch.
Oh my gosh!
Wait, it was like, well, it was what, Bobby, who was the only one who was like even remotely nice.
Yeah, but he did stand up and say, "Hey, he's had enough." And then Johnny's like, "Oh, I'll tell you when he's had enough."
Yeah.
And he's also the one that apologizes mm-hmm. after like breaking his leg or hurting his leg, whatever.
Oh,
but like even that, so he's quote the nice one, and it really amounts to him just being like, "Hey, maybe we should only like slightly hurt this person."
I know, right? And he still does basically break his leg.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was broken. Has anybody, like, a doctor looked at this and seen the type of damage that was done to his leg?
I would say it's not broken, because in Karate Kid 2, which takes place, like, 2 minutes after that, and they're out in the
park. Oh, yeah, of course. Yep.
So he seemed fine. I think it was just...
Oh, thank God. Maybe just sprained?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good, because Johnny just kept going at it.
Yeah. I mean... mostly out of fear of his sensei.
Yes, that's true. His sensei was super, like, angry and very...
Yeah, because he kind of looks at him, he's like, are you sure we should do this?
And then he looks back at him like, yes, finish him.
Yeah.
And then there's this other very angry member of their team who just yells and yells during the whole thing.
Is that the guy that said, get him a body bag?
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only one who didn't have any kind of remorse. He's a carbon copy of the sensei on that side.
Yeah.
He just, no remorse. He's just cold-blooded killer.
I want to know how many of the Cobra Kai's come back in the actual, like, show on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, the Cobra Kai show.
Because I would like to know what... Yeah, because I'd like to know what happened to him.
And I think Elizabeth Shue came back for it, too.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
This was one of her first roles, too.
Yeah.
She had been, like, one or two things, and then a Burger King commercial, and then this.
And she actually won an award for her portrayal. Yeah. And also, Mr. Miyagi, his actor, Pat, he was nominated for an Oscar and a Golden Globe.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Ralph Macchio was not nominated for any awards.
Yeah, I can see that.
Really? I thought he did pretty... I mean, just learning karate and doing all those scenes.
I think... I can't tell you who it was, but I remember someone when I was, like, growing up in the mid-90s getting... There was, like, a lot of fanfare that a kid was nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, I know. Was it the piano? The little piano girl?
That's it, yeah.
Yep. It was that girl. I remember watching that, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's so young.
Yeah.
She's also in True Blood, right?
I don't know if that was her.
Is that the same girl? Okay.
No.
That I can't say.
I think she was older now. I know, if my wife were here in the room with me, she would tell me who that is. I don't remember her name.
Oh, yeah, I don't. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I'm going to check right now.
All right, cool. The importance of smartphones.
Yeah.
Anna Paquin. That was who that
Anna
was.
Anna Paquin, yep. And she was in True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought she was older than her. All right. Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, I mean, I know we just kind of got through saying that he's 22, so he wasn't really a kid, but I feel like it would have made more of a scene if he had been nominated. Because I think Miyagi... Pat is the kind of core of the movie, which is why he's the one who gets, like, throughout all the movies.
Yeah, and they do this freeze frame on him at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is. He's like the soul of the movie, and Ralph Macchio is kind of the he plays kind of a clownish character
in
all the movies. And it's, I don't know if it's because he's not a good actor and that's just like his default, or if that's something that he actually set out and said, all right, this is how I'm going to play it. I don't think he's a good... I think it was just like he's not a very good actor, so this is kind of this nervous energy that he brings to the role.
True, that is possible.
Yeah. You're saying that the second one starts like right after the end.
Right after the end.
That actually... Yeah. That I actually like that because... I like that this movie doesn't belabor the point. It's like, all right, you came to see the fight. You saw the fight. Congratulations, the movie is over.
Yeah.
There's and no, everything like, was a build-up to that.
Yeah.
If they didn't make a Karate Kid 2, it would have been good on its own. It could have stood on its own for sure without any question. Because it got resolved.
Exactly. It was joking like, oh, there's no like awkward scene where they're like driving home and like, oh, gotta get you McDonald's as a treat.
Your orange slices. Look at you. I want to rub my hands together and heat up that leg again. And do my magic.
Sponsors.
they were going to have them say Minute Maid.
Yeah.
Like, ah, I want a Minute Maid for breakfast. And his New Jersey accent.
I'm glad they didn't.
No, Ralph definitely, the actor himself, did not want to say that.
Which I feel he dropped that accent pretty quick. It was very heavy at the beginning, and then it wasn't really followed through the whole movie.
What, the New Jersey accent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here, Ma!
And he's like saying goodbye to his friends. See you soon! It's not
going to
happen.
Not in that car. You're not seeing them.
No, gosh, no.
They, Siskel and Ebert gave it one begrudging thumbs up and one enthusiastic thumbs up.
Oh, so one of them did not like it.
Yeah, he was like, it's okay, but it's like a half hour too long. And also predictable, he said. And the other guy said, I don't know which one's which. The heavier set man said he liked it more because he thought it was less predictable. Because
the training, husband Ebert.
Yeah, the training montage is always like a staple in movies like this. But to have it be not actually a training montage, but like done secretly through the chores, he thought was a really cool way to show that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed how he did have him do those chores. He was like helping himself. Well, also, I think it was more of calming him because he had such a, like, I think it's mainly important that he calm him. He was very angry. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's just mad all the time.
He was out of center.
He had to be centered. He was out of center.
And he has, the temper tantrum or something where he throws the paintbrush or whatever he's working on.
Yeah.
They do that scene where he's like, yeah, and he's walking all stuff. I loved it. I thought that was awesome.
I think it's important to know. Are you still into the martial arts?
No.
Oh, okay. No. I feel like if you're running on raw energy, you can make mistakes more easily than someone who is centered and focused on the task at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's true for everything. Definitely.
Yeah.
Like.
So he was able to remain focused because of all the Zen-like activities. Painting is very serene. The waxing and then the sanding. Apparently the film crew finished the rest of the deck. He didn't do all that himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure everybody knew that.
Yeah.
He would not have done all of that himself.
Yeah. We did so many takes that he actually finished it.
Although, trying to think, is that a good way to learn karate?
I would say probably not. I don't think so.
As a kid, I always thought, oh, I just have to do these motions.
Yeah.
If I just, like, clean the house, bam, I'm a karate master.
Yeah. Well, you can see when they are doing the scene where he's showing him what he learned.
Exactly.
He's still like, he's like, okay, well, I'll do this motion. He's like, no, you still have to do it. Like, it was almost like he got him, like, 50% there.
Yes.
But then he had to, like, get him, like, the other 50% to, like, get it, okay. So that's the basic idea. Now you have to actually perfect it by doing this.
Yeah, and I kind of
remember. And then you also have to stand up. Yeah. You can't just be on the ground.
Yeah, I remember, like, I think, like, he's like, oh, paint deck, put wax on or something. And Mr. Elliott's going, yeah, like, really do it. Mm-hmm. And and then doing the punches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, I thought, that's what I thought as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I'm wrong. It's so sad. Another lie this movie made. And of course, the bird crane move is not real.
No, but it is a nice kick.
It is a nice kick to the face.
And was that a stuntman? I can't imagine he pulled that move off.
Oh, they talk a lot about Mr. Miyagi's stuntman and the other guy's stuntman, but they didn't really mention anything about Ralph Macchio's.
So I'm just going to say this while we were talking, I was looking it up, and it actually Google auto completes the question if you put in where did Mr. Miyagi. And, like, the second question down is, get his money?
No.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And there's only, like, two things. And one of them actually says that if you watch all the movies and the novelization, you come to the conclusion that he's done landscaping jobs, carpentry jobs, restoring cars. He doesn't have a license, so he doesn't pay insurance or registrations or anything. But they say that restoring antique cars is probably where he made the most money because those are so expensive to fix.
Okay.
Oh.
And couple that with not spending money really on anything. That's where he would have gotten his money from.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's funny.
And I just looked up. Oh, yes?
Oh, no. It's funny how, like, no, there's no original thought, is there? Like, everyone's ordered this. I'm sorry. Go on. I cut you off.
No, it's okay. I was just answering Andrew's question. Yeah. Ralph Macchio did have a stunt double. His name was Johnny Atkinson.
Mm.
So that was the stunt double who probably did the last kick, actually all of the fighting. And the referee who was on set in the movie,
yeah.
He studied under Chuck Norris, mm-hmm. and he was their fight coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
So the referee you see was their choreographer.
Yeah. And you were also saying that Pat was a comedic actor.
Yes, they wanted someone funny because everyone else played it so serious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was on Happy Days.
Yes, he was.
That's
right.
The I forget his name. Was he? I don't remember. He was the owner of the diner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Nice. I don't know if he had a. Did he use an Asian? I don't think he actually had an Asian.
I don't know.
Accent. I don't think he did. I don't know if he did on Happy Days though.
But, I don't know, but I'm sure they wanted him to like really play into that.
Yeah. Well, it was the 80s, too,
part.
So.
Yeah, you know. Definitely. Oh, my gosh.
But, I always say, like, as we've been watching the movies, a lot of them were from 1984, and I feel like people who like the 80s really just like 1984.
Yeah.
Seems so to be, like, where it must.
Like, Back to the Future came out, and I think the Ghostbusters was at the same time, too. Yeah, it was a big blockbuster year.
Yeah. Yep. Gremlins.
Oh, yeah, Gremlins.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Ralph Macchio could have been in that one.
Yeah, it's a different kid. Similar look, but it's a different kid.
No, he could have been. Yeah, they were looking for a younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a kid in that.
I mean,
he can play a kid.
Yeah, that's right. Which is why Corey Feldman is a kid and his best friend, because that's like 5 years younger than him.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
Oh, man.
I was going to mention other things, like the things that we think about as adults now. For instance, this poor kid, Daniel, got beaten up almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Did no teachers notice that he was, like, coming to school with bruises, his eye, like, black eye, sunglasses all the time? No, apparently nobody cares in this movie world that this kid was being basically harassed by this gang of...
Harassed is a nice word.
The teachers were all afraid of Cobra Kai, too. They weren't going to stand up to him.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you think the sensei goes to the school and just, like, threatens them? These are my kids. Don't you dare. They have a range... wide open range of what they can do, all right? What was he offering them protection?
Yeah.
My guys will beat you up or key your cars.
No, you raise a good point, though. Maybe because he was the new kid, they didn't notice him to begin with. I mean, he didn't seem to have much of a school life. He didn't try to integrate himself in any way.
Yeah.
I'm really thinking
about
it. He
did. He was playing soccer. No. I have to interject. He did try out for the soccer team.
That's right, he did.
And he was thrown off the field because of a because of those kids.
Yeah. They were like kicking him down and stuff. They were like, I remember that. That actually is one of my favorite lines in the movie. That scene. Where at one point someone runs by and one of the Cobra Kai says to him, "It must be take your worm for walk day." Did you catch that? Or do you remember that?
Yeah. Yes, like strangest, I did.
I never. It was my wife who like pointed that out to me. And I could never hear it. Like that's the strangest insult that anybody would use.
Oh my god.
There's it's the same voice in the background of the fighting scenes at the end, where they're 100% cheering on Johnny, and then at the end they're cheering on Daniel.
Oh,
it's the same voice. It like swaps over to Daniel at some point.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The same thing happens in the Rocky movies, I feel.
Yeah.
Where they're, like, kind of for the other guy, and then as he's getting better in the fight, they're like, oh, Rocky.
Yeah, they all like a winner.
That's, yes.
Whoever's winning, that's who they're going to cheer for.
Oh. But not that Cobra Kai kid.
No.
He's, like, hardcore against Ralph Macchio's character.
Yeah. But I think at the end, God. they all yeah. are on, Ralph Macchio's side, Danielson's side, at the very end.
Yeah. Yeah, Johnny says.
At the very end. Yeah,
Johnny says, like, you're okay. Yeah, you're okay, kid.
Yeah, he gave him the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in the beginning of the second one, the sensei breaks that trophy? Am I right in saying that?
I think he breaks the second place trophy.
Yeah, the second place trophy, yeah. He's like, this is worthless.
Yeah.
Second place, that's just the first to lose. Like... He's just so mean.
Yeah, he is.
I know. It's,
I mean, he beat all those other guys to get up to that point. I mean, second place is a valid.
Well, it's like, and I know we're not huge fans of him, but it's that Jerry Seinfeld bit.
Oh, God.
Where it's first place, you're excited because you won. Third place, you're excited because you got anything. Second place is like, congratulations, you almost won.
I know. That's true. That's so true.
But did he do that for everyone who came in second place? Because this wasn't the first tournament. So, like, was this, like, just something he did normally? Like, after they get the tournament, whoever gets a second or third place gets a beat down publicly from him?
Oh, I know.
It might have been more to the point if it was... Like, he would accept second place if he had also won first place. Like, oh, my guys were the top three.
Yeah.
But if he only won the top like, second place, it wasn't good enough.
Well, also, they were fighting this kid that didn't know karate 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They came into the dojo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
I would have, another alternate ending I would have also accepted was... That fourth kid in the semifinals winning everything, who wasn't either of them.
Yeah.
Because then they would just be like, well, wait a minute, hold on. That's not how the movie's supposed to work. He's either supposed to lose and learn that losing's okay, or he's supposed to win. It's one or the other. He doesn't...
Yeah, the movie was about fighting to be the man to defend your honor.
Yeah.
Hey, I just did a weird... I was just putting in Ralph Macchio, and one of the things that people also ask is, why does Ralph Macchio walk with a limp?
I didn't notice that. Is it because of the fight?
Yeah. Maybe, but it's also... They also ask...
the fight?
It's possible. This is the other thing they said. Why does Ralph Macchio walk funny?
Like, the actual actor, not the character?
Yeah, it says why Ralph Macchio.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he actually did get hurt during that fight.
Well, there was some injury to the Cobra Kai from the from Mr. Miyagi's stunt double.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy just wanted to get the scenes done quicker. So he was just like, let me do the thing the way I do it.
Yeah.
And it did injure them.
Let me just punch the kids for real. Come
this
on.
This was after the Halloween attack,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he just did, and it was quick. Yeah. And they were all on the ground and kind of squirming and twitching. I think they were in actual pain.
Yes,
that was real. I didn't know that. Yeah. Damn kids.
And Ralph Macchio did get injured. I know.
Yeah. The 80s. Who cares about regulations?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean, they must have had some kind of insurance to...
Right. Well, this is pre-Twilight Zone. There was nobody cared.
Oh,
I forgot about the Twilight Zone.
That's right. Yeah. Oh no. And then you know what? That's why every assistant director that I've ever worked with was just like hardcore into safety.
Yeah.
Like, we had to have first aid kits on every floor or in every facet of it. If anything happened, they were right on there and yelling at whoever they thought was responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I keep forgetting about that. Or what I think is what happened to Bruce Lee.
Mm. Yeah. That was a big one. That prop gun didn't work properly. They also wanted to save time, obviously, because they didn't have a big budget. They had, what, $8
million? $8 million, but they more than quadrupled that.
Oh, for sure.
More than 10 times.
10 times, yeah. That's like 100 million?
100 million, so yeah, more than 12 times.
I wonder, though, if a lot of that budget went to the antique cars.
Some of it.
We got a big budget. Let's put this whole, all this land. We got 5
antique cars here. We got to...
And then, meanwhile, let's give Ralph, like, oh, here's $1,000. And the rest is for Mr. Miyagi's house and his land.
And
maybe
it
was.
Maybe that they rented out the whole building where Mr. Miyagi lived. Or
that's true.
Some maintenance. Maybe they had to rent that out. I don't know. It was shot quickly, too, though, I think. I mean, I don't think that it was took a long time to even film. Only probably a couple months.
I don't think so. I think it was just a couple of months.
Because there weren't many even... There were, I mean, it's a short movie in some ways. It's a lot shorter than I thought when I went and watched it.
Oh, Andrew thought it was a lot longer.
Oh, really? See, I thought, oh, not much happened. It's only, like, filmed in, like, maybe 7 or 8 locations, really.
Yeah, to me it didn't seem that long either.
Yeah, like, not much
happened. I guess the costuming, having all of those monogrammed Cobra Kai... And the uniforms, and then having the dojo, and the sequence with all of the audience members.
Oh yeah.
Although I don't know if they paid extras then.
No, it was just the thrill of being in a movie. Probably, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Again, to see some good karate.
My gosh.
All Valley Tri County Championship, or whatever it was called.
I know, it was the Tri-County Championship. And then I love how, like, there's some scenes where it seemed like a little bit of filler if you were watching, like, a romantic comedy where he's just taking that girl out on dates to, I think, of the carnival. And they're playing in the bumper cars or the little race cars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like.
Yeah, it was the 80s, too. You had to have the romance and the...
That's true.
Yeah.
There had to be a reason for your girlfriend to want to watch the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was 10. I didn't, there was no girlfriend. It was my mother.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, real quick, the mom in the movie works on computers. So,
yes.
As a computer programmer. And assuming that this is a job that she moved across the country for...
Was it IBM?
I don't know, but I'm going to assume that they were going to pay her a decent amount of money that she was willing to make that move.
Oh, yeah, it had to have been.
And the
amount.
Average for that job in that year was $41,000, which is over $100,000 a year in today.
See, this is exactly why I'm like, why do you still have that crappy car?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why are they living in that apartment? But I don't know. I don't know if the job worked, because later on they show them at like that Chinese food restaurant. I had assumed there was a scene where they're in this restaurant. I had assumed that she was working there, that the job didn't work out. I don't know why I ever assumed that. But I assumed that she worked there. So maybe that's why.
Oh. Well, because she says they're putting her into a management training program. I thought that was she was going to be in charge of a program or team.
Okay.
I thought she just switched jobs and became a manager for, like, a department store. It was like, computers aren't going anywhere. I'm going to get more money being a manager of a Costco.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I thought she was just going into another line of work completely.
So many unanswered questions in this movie.
I know. Because if she was in that higher position, she would have definitely gotten a new car.
Yeah.
And does she ever see Danielson beat up and say anything, or is it just kind of, I call him Danielson, does she say anything, or is it just kind of, I can't remember.
She does force him to take off his glasses one morning. Yeah. And then he kind of like brushes it off and just like, relax, mom, I'm gonna be fine.
It's a bike accident.
A bike accident.
But then she knows something's going on, because then she sees him get this, doesn't see him get it, but she sees him with the second black eye as he's throwing out his bike.
Yep, he was really mad at that bike.
And that's
bike.
When she's like, I can't help you if you don't tell me what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's like, nothing, I just want to go home. Can't we just go home?
Oh, yeah, he wants to go back to New Jersey at that mm-hmm. point. And then that is when Mr. Miyagi, I think, takes a liking to him by first fixing the bike.
Mm-hmm.
He fixes the bike. Oh, he's very talented. He, like, restores antique cars. He can fix bikes.
He's got magic
hands. No wonder
he's
rich.
Yeah.
He's got magic hands.
And then he's like, he saves him from the guys. When he got jumped by those, not jumped, but in the Halloween dance, how did Mr. Miyagi find him? Was he just following him, or did they?
I know, that's
behind
true.
Behind that building? I don't know. I always assume it was behind his building, but I don't think so.
I think it was behind the building, because when he's running, he's almost making it to his building.
Okay.
But the fence was in the way, and they pulled him off the fence.
Yeah.
So he almost made it there, and I think he's just always generally outside. Or maybe he was hoping to, like, stay up and ask him how the dance was. I actually think he was like, oh, did you get to dance with that girl? How was it? And then all of a sudden, oh, this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
He has baby trees.
Yeah. Yes, his baby trees.
Baby trees.
Bonsai.
Bonsai.
Bonsai. But those kids are just four people against one. Or is it four
five.
Or five? Five against one.
Yeah, because he makes a point that says five against one is too much to ask of anyone.
Exactly. And then I always thought that maybe Mr. Miyagi and Kreese, is it Kreese?
Yeah.
Had known each other in the past. But they didn't. This
no,
is completely...
I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
In my mind, I thought it would have been cool if Kreese was a former student of Mr. Miyagi, and that's why he quit teaching, because his student became so horrible.
Mm.
Oh, that would have been a really good movie, though.
I know, right? It would have been like full circle.
Just a great backstory.
I know. That's what I always thought. I always inserted that backstory. And then I realized now, rewatching it years later, oh, they had no idea who each other was.
No. They were,
so why did he have... Yeah. He just hated him for no reason.
You're pushy, but I like that.
My kids beat up your kid, but I'm still going to hate you. Like, oh my gosh. What a jerk.
Yeah, he's typical, uses the martial arts as offense instead of defense.
Exactly.
Yeah, no mercy, right? That was the catchphrase.
His catchphrase was no mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I like Mr. Miyagi's catchphrases better. Danielson, bonsai. You much humor. Oh god.
You're the best friend you're the best friend I ever had. You pretty okay too.
Well, yeah, you know, like, he gave him the car and all of that, and what did this kid? Well, actually, you know what? He did a lot of work, unpaid work for him, so he is a good friend.
He did. That deck looks great after he did that.
Yeah,
you know,
he painted the whole
painted.
Fence.
Yeah,
and he waxed all those cars.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and did you notice that he put his tags on the keychain in the car? Like, he already knew which car he was going to choose.
Yeah. Yep.
And he put the tags because he knew he was looking at them.
A sensei always knows.
He always knows. He's magical that way. He's like very... he's strong. He can do anything. Does he date anyone in the next movie?
Or no? Daniel or Mr. Miyagi?
Mr. Miyagi.
I think when they go to Okinawa, he rekindles his romance with somebody who he left for America with. I don't remember the details, but I think there was like the hint. I don't think they ever really show it because a sensei is not, you know, they don't show romance between a sensei.
That's true.
Other people, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. but they do. They hint at that. Like some long lost love or something, and I think he left because there was like an argument between him and another guy. I gotta watch that
again. I have to watch that again. Oh my gosh. Now, I'm thinking of the other things that happened. There was other people in this movie. Really, the only famous one that I think of is Elizabeth Shue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I was gonna say I can't think of anyone else in it that really went on, unless they're like background actors that, like, this was just like a small role for them, and then they went on to do more.
Like William Zabka, he came back for the Cobra Kai show.
Right, but that.
But that's, I mean, yeah. Still thankfully, this, yeah. He was still a part of this.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't have anything else on this movie.
I mean, you being a big fan of this. Are you also a big fan of Cobra Kai, the show?
Yeah, I watched it. I thought it was good. It was very campy. Like, they definitely camped it up, which I liked. Did you all see it?
No,
I have not. I didn't want to kind of like besmirch this. Unless it's good, does it hold up?
It's like Degrassi High meets Karate Kid.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
It's cheesy. I mean. Again, Ralph Macchio, not the best actor. I think the dude who plays Johnny is actually, he's pretty good in it.
He was nominated for an award.
Oh, was he? I didn't know that. He's really good. Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, he was nominated. The only one who actually won theirs was Elizabeth Shue.
Mm.
Okay, I didn't know that. And she doesn't act anymore, or does she?
No, she's pretty active. She's in she's like in a show though, like if you don't like watch the show, then you don't know she's there.
I have to look that up because I know she's active in other things.
I had looked this up when we looked up when we watched Adventures in Babysitting.
Adventures in Babysitting. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes, I did. I saw that a couple times. It's been a long time. That was a good movie too.
Oh yeah.
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 She was in The Boys, that's it.
Did you say The Boys?
Yeah, The Boys.
I don't know what that is.
It's an Amazon Prime show about superheroes, but like superheroes. Yeah.
And she was also in CSI too.
Yep.
Well, everybody's been in CSI, right?
I know, it seems like that. It's like, there's like so many different variations of that. Ted Danson.
Yeah.
There's a question. People also ask, what is Elizabeth Shue doing today?
Today,
she
I'm sure 55 she's
55 and lives in Los Angeles with her husband and their three children.
Hmm.
Launched her career more than 40 years ago, segueing from commercials to film and television.
Yeah,
that's good. Good for her. I'm glad she's still active. And I did see see The Boys. I saw an episode of that. I liked it. I should probably revisit that.
Yeah, I should revisit that also.
There's a lot of uncomfortable scenes in it. I'm not sure if I would renew my Prime for it, but I can see why people like it. I'll put it that way. If you considered I will put this out to listeners. If you thought the Watchmen movie was gross and like too much, you're definitely not going to enjoy The Boys because it takes like Watchmen level. Gore and everything else, and then kind of multiplies it by five.
But do they also have the dog death scene? That type?
They have a version of that.
Oh no. Mm-hmm. Or at least I can't watch that episode.
I can't watch animals getting hurt.
Yeah.
Oh my god! I cannot. I literally cannot.
I'll put it this way, the show, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Tempers you.
Oh, and it gets like, you into like.
It gets you used
builds
to.
Builds up a tolerance.
Yeah, it builds up a tolerance to a certain point where that scene is almost played as a joke.
Oh, no. Because, you know, that's why I can't really watch Gremlins.
Yeah.
Because I feel so bad for Gizmo.
Yeah.
And the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's almost played as a comedic bit. And it almost works because you've been, like, built up this tolerance to everything else that's so horrible in the show.
Mm.
Yeah. No, it's not like a casual, let's watch a nice, fun, like, superhero show. It's...
Oh, wow. I suppose it's also similar to Ratched.
Yeah, I mean, you're not sitting and going, I'm going to relax and watch Ratched.
I can't relax and watch Ratched. And I have to revisit One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Have you watched that?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched too much TV, I think. Because definitely.
Oh, my gosh.
In. Yeah, no, I think I watched The Queen's Gambit. That's like the last thing that I've really watched. Like, I haven't taken up with a new series. Although I do watch Big Little Lies on HBO, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, HBO.
Yeah.
See, we have to pay for the add-on, right?
Yeah. Well, they're also, I'm wondering if they're going to have it. They're going to have, and now I think we're almost finishing up since we're going way off topic. They're going to release Wonder Woman 1984 on HBO Max.
Oh my gosh, I have to get HBO Max now.
Yeah. I know, I was talking to my wife about that, and I feel like that's the kind of movie I really would love to see in a theater. It's so yes. sad that that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Although they could do drive-in.
Yeah. Well, they're doing a tandem release of theaters and HBO Max.
Oh wow!
So you'll have that option either way.
Yeah, but I was gonna say,
yeah.
That's.
I was gonna say, depending where you're at, I assume they'll do drive-ins, and then which we actually probably could do.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We have a drive-in near us.
Do you have a drive-in near you guys?
Yep.
Yes,
we do.
Yeah, we have one too. I saw Back to the Future actually over the summer.
Awesome.
That was really fun. That's my first.
Oh wait, we watched one too.
What did we watch? Grease?
Yes, we watched Grease at the drive-in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That'd be
oh,
fun
yeah,
to see
it was so
screen.
Cool. And yeah. then they had all that, like, carnival-type food, like fried mac and cheese balls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, like, really decadent and, like, so bad for you.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
Oh, that was good times. Yes.
do you live in Rhode Island, right? Is that...
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm in Massachusetts, so we have the Marshfield Fair, which closed this summer. Of course, they turned into a drive-in theater, so that was good for them.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, depending, because Massachusetts is, you know, huge. The Menden Drive-In might be close to you.
Yeah, I know where that is. That's too far. To go.
Yeah.
But well, we also have the Rustic Drive-In, but that's like. Connecticut? No.
No, I think that's in Rhode Island. I think it's in Woonsocket.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Rustic Drive-In.
With the penis sign.
Yep.
That they painted blue.
So. Because it used to be an XXX type of movie place.
I think I've driven by that.
You can. It's very blatant.
Yeah.
I've seen
that. You're just like, that's a blue penis. I don't know why it's there.
The Smurfs. They have their fun, too.
Yep.
Smurfs don't have penises.
Aww, but yeah, that's true. They only have the one girl.
Yeah, and they're only born on a blue moon. I don't know how I know that.
Wow. No, I mean, there's some things that I know that I, like, how do I know that? Like, Alf eats cats.
Yeah.
This alien creature eats cats.
Yep.
So, I'm thinking we're going to do our last bits of what we think was our favorite scene from this movie. I think you had already said what your favorite line was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene? that final scene. It has to be. Either the final scene.
Yep, that was actually what I was going to say too.
I think everyone. But the other scene is when they show him practicing it during the montage. That might be the runner up.
Oh, yeah, when they at show the beach. Him
like trying it, and he never gets it down. So it was like a big thing when he actually did it too. He never showed Mr. Miyagi this trick that he learned by watching him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, yeah. All right. That's my favorite scene. What about yours?
Yeah.
My favorite scene was when he receives the gifts from Mr. Miyagi. I thought that was really like a very touching moment.
Yeah.
And also a kind of, if his mom was there, kind of like a slap in the face to her. Like, what is he going to do with a car? He's got his bike. Yeah. Look at me in that horrible piece of crap car.
I could drive it to dates myself. He doesn't need this car.
It was like, I can use that car. I need to drive back to and from work. Like, what the hell?
Commuting.
I would have, that's how I would have acted if I was the mom. I'd be like, what the hell is this? You know I'm keeping that car.
See, we're so jaded now, because if a guy gave your kid a car now, you'd be like, what's the end game here? This is,
Yeah, I know. Is he supposed to do some favors for you? Is that what he's doing for you after school? He's always over there, getting all sweaty. Like, what is he doing for you that you're giving him a car?
Exactly.
Yeah, we're so cynical.
I know.
Andrew, what was your favorite scene?
Oh, I mean, it's going to be cliche and just say the end, like, the tournament scene.
Because it was very satisfying to see him kick those guys.
Yeah. No, I'm going to break rank here. I would say, I'll go with my runner-up, because it's weird, is the scene where Mr. Miyagi challenges Kreese to the tournament.
Ah.
Because I think that's where, you know, he's much smaller than him and everything else, mm-hmm. and older and everything. And he's like, I'm not scared. Or, I mean, he says he's always scared later on, but I think it's that, like, don't back down, even if you're scared.
That just reminded me of my other favorite scene, where Mr. Miyagi's confronting those kind of like redneck type guys, and he kind of karate chops their bottles. In
oh,
half.
Yeah, that's
and they're all scene. Like, oh, and then they run off like, oh, and then Danielson's like, how did you do that? He's like, I don't know.
Just did.
I just did.
That's a great scene. Is that when they were like coming back from like fishing or something? And the guy's like, all right, what are you doing out there? Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun. Good talk.
It was.
And then I'm going to do a sneak peek at the next episode. I'm going to give a clue. Obviously, do not say what you think, because I don't want people to...
Nope.
Ah, yes. All right, so here's the clue. This movie is about a mumbling alien who destroys famous artwork.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's a way to put it.
Yep.
Nope, I have no idea. I wouldn't.
No idea. A mumbling alien. Our friends across the pond might know. So, do you have anything else to add about what you're doing in your podcast?
No, I'm
future
not.
Episodes?
No, I'm not good at self-promotion. This was just fun. Thanks.
Oh, okay.
No.
Thank you so much.
I know, I'm flying by the seat of my pants over here about what I'm doing.
I don't know, like somehow I was just kind of thinking Hot Ones right now, and usually at the end of every Hot Ones episode, after eating all the hottest chicken wing, the Sean Evans would be like, and here's your time to plug when your mouth is burning. I just channeled him.
I got nothing.
Well, we'll put some links in the show notes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Make something up.
All right.
This was a lot of fun. Thanks. Right. Thanks for having me on. It was a good time.
Thank you for being
on.
Yeah.
And I hope you all enjoyed listening to our podcast and come back for more.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
See ya.